Morning, Ozark. What a blessing to be here with you guys today and to have the privilege of being able to talk about prayer with you. Such a core, important subject, because prayer is the power, it's the strategy that powers the mission of God. And the problem we have with prayer is we kind of treat it like it's a discipline. You know, when we read those scriptures about prayer, we kind of react like it's a discipline like running. You know, it's like when it says in the Bible, brothers and sisters, you know, it's like we're reading, run without ceasing. We're like, I know, God, I know, but I just get so tired by the time I get home and I'm just not disciplined enough. You know, we kind of act like it's about a discipline like running, but what if we just kind of plucked it out of that category and moved it over into a different category entirely? You know, like eating. Now, you know, brothers and sisters, eat without ceasing. Finally, something that I am personally qualified to accomplish, right? Because prayer is how Jesus feeds and nourishes his church to accomplish the mission. Prayer is the strategy that powers the church and the mission. But it seems like nowadays, especially in large churches, we don't pray very much at church. You know, I think it's because we've kind of come to the conclusion that prayer is a little bit boring. But what could be boring about a torrent of God's power rushing into your life? You know, if you don't want prayer to be boring, just don't pray boring stuff. So I know that, you know, when I went off to go to work in West Africa, I did not yet know to rely on prayer. I remember, you know, we went over and we lived in this little village in West Africa, and we had just gotten there. We didn't have a car yet, and we had two bicycles, and we were living in this little tiny shack. And one day I heard this lady outside, and she was just wailing and crying, just to break your heart to hear it. And I said, what's wrong with this woman? And they said, well, her son, her three-year-old little boy, she thinks he's going to die. And I was like, oh, what's wrong with him? And could we see him maybe? And they said, well, he's over being treated out in the bush by the witch doctor, but you know what? We'll bring him here and you can treat him. And I was like, wait, what? So they bring this kid into town, and when we get there, he's laying on a mud hut, you know, floor, and you know, he's laying there. His breathing is just labored, and his eyes, the pupils are just really huge. And I shined a flashlight on him to see better, and his pupils didn't react. And I was like, "Oh, I've watched enough, you know, hospital TV to know like pupils fixed and dilated. That's bad, right? I don't know." You know, she's probably right. By the way he's breathing, he looks like he's just about to die. And, you know, so we started talking, the pastor and my wife and I, and we're saying, you know, maybe he's got cerebral malaria, but we don't know how to give him, you know, tablets when he's unconscious like this. And we're talking about all these medical treatments. And finally, you know, I said, you know, hey, we are missionaries. Like, what if we prayed for the kid? And the word prayer came out of my mouth and he blinked. And I said, we need to hurry up and pray for this kid. I think God is healing him. And as we prayed, his eyes started moving around the room. His breathing started to get normal and he was healed. So that's when I first started to realize God is real and he wants us to go to him first and not as a last resort when everything else fails. So back in 2006, I was out there working as a Bible translator, minding my own business in the bush when disaster struck. The board of Pioneer Bible Translators called me and they made me the president of Pioneer Bible Translators. You know, I was at first kind of flattered. I was like, wow, that's pretty good. That's cool. And then I was like terrified because I realized, wait a minute. I'm gonna have to like go to the board meeting, and they're gonna be like, okay, President Pruitt, tell us the big plan. How are we gonna, you know, go into the future of Pioneer Bible Translators? And I had nothing. And I was like, man, this is gonna be bad. So I started begging God for help. And I remember thinking to myself, you know, what I need here is a source of power, you know? And I thought, you know what? I'm a Bible translator. What if I look in the Bible? So I started searching the Bible, and I found in the Bible all these incredible promises that Jesus said about answering prayer with infinite, unlimited power. And I said, you know, what if this would actually work? What if instead of like praying about our strategies, we just made prayer the strategy? And so that's what we tried. You know, that was an interesting board meeting because it was easy to support. I said, you know, Jesus said in John, he said, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He'll do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. You know, he didn't say anyone who's an apostle. He said, anyone who has faith in me. Raise your hand if you have faith in Jesus. Wow, we're in the right place. Okay, turn to the person next to you and say, Jesus is talking about you. Okay, enough. Jesus is talking about us. You know how sometimes preachers will get up and say, the Bible's not all about you. In this case, it is. And but what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Is that like where you say, dear God, please give me a Lamborghini sports car in Jesus' name? And now he's got to do it because like you put that thing on the end there in Jesus' name. It said, no, because in the Bible, names represent the character and the nature of the person. And Jesus' name means salvation. And so when we pray about things consistent with the passion and the character of Jesus and his mission, things in his authority and in his desires for your neighborhood or for the world, the promise is that he will do that. He says in John 15:7, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. And again, in John 15, he says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. So, you know, the bad news is you could pretty much forget the Lamborghini. But the good news is that when you are ministering in the kingdom of God, you have the promise of unlimited power in answer to your prayers, and that's amazing. So what's the master's business in your life? Pray about that. Because God answers prayers in Jesus' name with unlimited power. In Luke, Jesus also told two parables to teach another principle, the principle being that we should always pray and never give up. All right, so like you're laying there in bed at night, it's late at night, all of a sudden you hear somebody knocking, somebody's pounding on the door. You get up, You got your shotgun, you're fumbling with some shotgun shells, you know, because that's how we roll in Texas. And you're peeking out the hole in the door, and there, it's just the crazy next door neighbor. You know, he wants something. But, you know, he's not going away. So you're going to open the door just to get rid of the guy, right? Jesus flips the script, and he says, you be the crazy neighbor. You're not the dude in bed. You pray like that crazy neighbor. Never go away. Always pray and never give up. And so he says, I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened, because God answers persistent prayer. So, you know, the bad news is you can't just pray once and it's done. But the good news is that any idiot can keep praying the same thing over and over again. That's good news for me anyway. And so, you know, why is it that God does it this way? Okay, what would happen if God, you know, like one person on the staff of Ozark said, dear Lord, please double enrollment next year. Boom. You know, he forgets he prayed that. Instantaneously, people are coming from all over the country. They're coming. Everybody's like, what would we all say when the enrollment doubled? We'd be like, wow, we have a really great president here at Ozark. You know, we got great faculty. It's amazing how amazing we are. But if instead we had spent 2 years praying, dear Lord, please, all of us united in prayer, persistent over and over again, God, please double enrollment here at Ozark. We need that. And then 2 years later, here come the people. What would we say? We would say, we serve a mighty God. So God will not answer prayers in a way that will harm us by puffing us up. He answers persistent prayer. And another thing that Jesus teaches is about unified groups praying. In Matthew 18, he says, again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. So the word for agree here is the Greek word from which we get our word symphony. And it's like he's saying, hey, when you gather together in a unified group of people to pray about an undertaking in my name, I will be there, and it will happen. So God answers unified group prayer with unlimited power. Okay, so back in 2008, I had just the year before become the president of Pioneer Bible Translators when the Great Recession hit. We called it the Great Recession. I was like, oh good, I've always wanted to lead in something great. So this is my big opportunity. And so like July comes and our financial report lands in my inbox like a grenade. And I looked at it and I was like, wait a minute, all the numbers are below zero. And I hear in finances, that's like a bad thing. And they're going down kind of fast. No worries, because I had the strategy all figured out. So I sent out an email to everybody around the world. I said, everybody, please pray for the Lord to bless our finances. And then the next month, everything changed. There we go. All right, so if a financial expert, and this has happened, were to look at this graph and review it for you, he would say, Dr. Pruitt, what did you do in July? Because whatever that is, you need to do that a lot. And over the next 5 years, over the next 7 years after we did made our strategy prayer, the finances, the income of the organization doubled. And the same thing for people. You know, people were saying, well, how are we going to find the people to do all these projects? People told us that young people today would not get involved in long-term ministry like Bible translation. Ha! That's not true. So I was like, we apply the strategy. So we started praying, God, bring us the right young people, the right new missionaries that can do this work. And, you know, to be fair, we were saying, you know, basically, here's our pitch. Hey, how would you like to live in a war-torn tropical malarial zone, just teeming with Islamic extremists? We would let you raise your own money. But the number of overseas career missionaries doubled in just 5 years. All right, so if you try to pick that out on the graph, where did we make prayer the strategy? It's subtle. You know what? If God can do that, what's impossible for our God? Nothing is impossible for our God. In just 5 years, the number of overseas career missionaries doubled. All right, so prayer really is the strategy that powers the mission of God. And so here's what I suggest to you today. I have, first, ask God to show you what he wants you to do. And invest time truly listening. And if you really listen for God's assignment, you're going to know when the Lord is explaining his assignment to you, because it will scare the fool out of you. You will know it's really him. And then you'll begin to come up with all these reasons. But Lord, I don't know how to do X or Y or Z. I don't have this much money. There will be all these reasons why it's not going to work out. That's your strategic prayer request list. Write those reasons down. That's what you pray. Those are the obstacles, the mountains that stand between you and being able to accomplish all these things that God is sending you out to do. And then gather together regularly with other people for unified, persistent group prayer. So like if you're, you know, in a ministry or you're teaching, you have a small group, you know, figure out, what does God want to do in this ministry? What does God want to do with my life? And what does God want to do with this group? And then how can we pray that together and pray expecting for God to be God? In my experience, it doesn't matter who you are, rich or poor, well-educated, undereducated, whatever, whoever, anywhere, God will indeed show up in power. 1 year, while I was over here on a home assignment in the United States, way over in West Africa where my house lived, a gang of solar panel thieves began to steal the solar panels in the entire region. And they stole, that's my neighborhood. They stole the solar panels on the governor's mansion. They stole the solar panels on the hospital. They stole the solar panels on the police station. And then they came all the way out to my house and they stole the solar panels off of my house, and the church was incensed. They're like, no way are these thieves going to steal Jesus' solar panels. And so they began to gather and they would gather together for fasting and prayer to catch the thieves. You and I know that it's not really possible to catch the thieves with prayer, fasting and prayer. Otherwise, the FBI would be organized totally differently. All right, but they did. And one night, they came out from a fasting and prayer time to catch the thieves, and they walked out and they were out, as believers all around the world do, as is the custom of the body of Christ. They were out arguing with each other outside the church. And a man walked by, and one of the leaders of the church said, "That's the guy." And the others were like, "Nah, you're just thinking that because we just finished fasting and praying for." And he said, no, seriously, that's the guy. They went over, they caught the guy in a lie. Turns out he was there to steal the last solar panels in the village because he knew they would be praying. And so they got this guy, they took him to town. The police found out that their whole gang had been reselling the solar panels down in another town. The church went with a police officer to that town, confiscated all kinds of solar panels. I lost 8 solar panels. I got 8 solar panels back, and some of them were actually mine. And so, at a kind of a town gathering after that, they said that everybody, kind of the pastor of the town, all the leaders of the town were there, and the pastor got up and testified that only the people who had prayed in Jesus' name had received their solar panels back. And the whole town of Muslims learned that God answers persistent, unified group prayer in Jesus' name. Now, if God can do that among Muslims, what's too hard for God? Prayer is not about getting whatever you want from God. Prayer is how God releases power in us to get what He wants. God answers persistent, unified group prayer in Jesus' name. So we now are going to kind of transition into a moment of inviting you to become people of prayer. You know, this is probably the only really smart idea I've ever gotten. And I don't actually need to. This one will last your whole life. You know, we're going to invite you now to kind of practice that. That's one reason why we have this display out in the I don't know, hallway out here. And you'll see, you know, there's some of them. There's all these stands with scripture in them. And those represent the 113 Bible translation projects we've already started and already have gotten underway. And you'll see some of them don't have any scripture yet because those are the new projects. We just haven't gotten there yet. And then you go around the bend and you find all these empty stands representing the 200 Bible translation projects we're trying to start. And I want to invite you over this next day, by tomorrow evening, to find a moment to pray through that display. Locate one and take a picture of it with your phone and take that one with you. And take one of those cards we have out there where you can become an ongoing, you know, prayer supporter of Pioneer Bible Translators on our website. You can sign up for our regular prayer materials so that you can just be in the know on what we're doing and support it in prayer. But take a moment during this time, go out there and pray for all of those language communities that don't yet have scripture, and pray for the ones that we don't even know the language names yet, but 200 least reached scriptureless people groups. Pray for those and become a person of prayer. And I just want to invite you to come up and talk to us, because we've been asking the Lord for new teammates of every conceivable different kind of person. And we've been asking Him for literally 16 years. So it's not gonna be a big surprise to us if you sense the Holy Spirit moving in your life and calling you to participate in our team. And you'll be surprised at the scope of talents and gifts that we need on our team. So come up and give us a little bit of your time to talk to us. Let's pray. Lord, I wanna ask that you not let these words just kind of pass over and be forgotten. It's so important that we learn to be people of prayer. And I pray, Lord, this moment, that you draw near to each one and through the power of your Holy Spirit, show each person the purpose for which you created them. And then as they pray about that purpose, I pray that they would see you move in great power and their faith would be